welcome to Street Fight Radio. Glad you tuned in. If this is your first time or your 500th time, we keep doing it every single week because of you. Because you like what we do. And we can continue this madness even further. Take it farther than we even thought. We had a really big summer. This Baltimore show kind of caps off our big plans for touring this year. And the New York City show is going to be a blowout. So it's been a really good, we've had a really great run, and I'm excited about what we got to do this weekend. We went to the Juggalo March on Washington. Thank you to Nick Hayes, at Nick from Detroit on Twitter. He filmed, tagged along, filmed, edited, produced a video for us. He's an absolute genius, and I can't wait to get more stuff out by him, because you're going to get, the video stuff is about to get a lot better. He's going to come with us to New York City as well. So everything's going up. Everything's on the up and up in Street Fight Land. Thank you for tuning in. That's a lot of business up front. But for those of you that don't know who we are, my name is Brett Payne. My co-host is Brian Quinby. This is Street Fight Radio out of Columbus, Ohio, the heartland. We are air on WCRS FM 92.7 every Sunday at 10 p.m. We also do live call-in shows when we're in town. I think we'll be doing one this week, right?
This Sunday.
There'll
be a live call-in show.
Tune in, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, WCRSFM.org. You click on the stream, you'll be able to hear us and call in. We'll have the number provided on the radio and through the social media channels. So, one last thing also. A guy really did the due diligence to make sure I share this with y'all back in Atlanta, but I was able to procrastinate the hell out of it despite his like valiant efforts to make sure I get this to you. So if you're in the South and you're kind of remote and you want to help out with the DSA, there's a group of folks that decided after going to Chicago that they wanted to reach at-large members and people that, can work remotely. So if you can do social media or graphics or online security, if you can write email list stuff, spreadsheets, any of that stuff you can do remotely, the Southern Caucus is looking to build membership to move along with some of those goals. You can find them on Twitter at Southern Caucus. Or just send them an email, southerncaucusdsa@gmail.com, and they can get you started with what they're looking for. So please consider doing that if you fit that category.
Yeah, do that. Show up to something, you know? Or don't show up to nothing. Do some social media. Y'all are good at that, most of you that are listening. Some of you aren't that great, but, you know, we're not all great at this sort of thing, you know?
Yes. So, the Juggalo March was awesome.
Yeah, we loved it. Yeah, it was a really good time. I think by the time you listen to this show, you've either seen our video and heard everything about it, but we did have like a really fucking good time there. I feel like I can start listening to normal music again. So it closed a chapter in my nostalgia. But Baltimore was really fun too. I that show was really great. The audience was excellent. So glad we did that Baltimore show. We were fucking exhausted. This capped off like basically a mini tour for us, like the way we do shows. And we're one more show in New York. That's something different though. That's an enormous fucking show. Yeah, it's about the occult, so make sure you make it there. But the Juggalo March was fun. It was very fun.
Yeah, and I don't know, some of the stuff we didn't get to, you can't really joke about on stage, but I wanted to say again that Antifa did a really good job of not being a problem at all. They just hung out on the sides. When it was obvious that nobody needed them, they either dispersed or unmasked or just continued to watch. And so I wanted to give them a round of applause for that. Not that I expect them to be a problem, but it was just going into this, I think I was most curious as how the different radical groups were going to interact with the the Juggalo March.
They were great. I mean, all the groups there were really great. Like, I felt like the radical people there didn't try to co-opt the march. They just had a good time. And the Juggalos were, they had the best time. I just had one of the best days ever. You could tell the looks on ICP's faces, and the there was an electricity in the air. Those dudes have achieved a lot. I said this a bunch of times to people in the run up to this march, but anybody who does a DIY or independent sort of thing could really look at those guys as an inspiration, because they did that. They absolutely have made it without much help from anybody.
Yeah, it's awesome. So the live show for that is going to be out next week. Nick says, I think he can get it done in a week. So look for that coming to a Patreon near you.
I posted this today, and we've had a lot of uplifting things happen lately. The Nazi got punched, which we definitely, a lot of liberals think that's a bad thing, that Nazi guy with the armband who was throwing bananas at people and calling them apes got punched in the face by somebody.
Yeah, I heard somebody even was saying that he has brain damage now. And is going to have nightmares and mood swings for the rest of his life.
Good, good, good. That's a good thing. Listen, if I could give all the Nazis nightmares and mood swings for the rest of their lives, then I'm really happy that I would do that. I mean, we're in a cult month, right, Brett? I would do a spell that did that.
Dude, it's just karma, man. It's just your karmic energy. When you get back what you put out there. But yeah, I mean, that's coming from somebody that's never been knocked out before. That's someone that's too afraid to get physical in their life and never got conked on the head too hard.
How does that happen, though? Like, I always feel like everybody's been knocked out. Seems like a universal experience. So it's strange to me that there's probably, when I think about it, when I process what you've been saying, that there's probably a lot of people that have never been knocked out. I mean, it's a universal experience among the people that I have spent my time with.
Yeah, I mean, I've been knocked out a couple times, and at concerts, teenage backyard fight clubs.
That movie fucked a lot of teenagers. I know we try to say that, like, the movies don't influence people or anything, but that was just the argument we were saying. Fight Club messed a lot of us up, man. We all thought we needed one of those.
That's true. We felt like it was something missing. Like, I'm sick of the pussification of America. I'm 16. I want to rip someone's head off.
I know that, like, I really wanted... I mean, dudes will always just find a reason to beat each other up, though, because before that, it was jumping people into gangs. It's like, you want to join my club? I've got to beat you up for that.
Yeah, that's... And I don't know what... I'm trying to think... I mean, I fell off a bike and hit my head and went to bed.
Yeah, we all get knocked out, dude. I'm not even saying you have to get punched. I know a lot of people, most of the people I know got punched, but they also deserved it, you know? Like, when I got punched in the head and knocked out, I wasn't some innocent victim in that. I caused some problems, okay? And I deserved it. I was mean. I probably, chances are, every time I ever got beat up was because I was talking some shit about somebody, and I was being or lying or bullshitting or so. I was a little monster. So, and this guy wore a fucking swastika.
Oh, outside. Yeah, armband. Yeah,
this like, is free speech isn't consequence free speech. It's like the government. I don't follow the Constitution. I don't give a shit about it. It doesn't grant me any of the rights, or I don't have the same tolerance for hate speech that the Constitution does.
I mean there's a natural reaction to that I don't think needs to be regulated. I don't believe in that liberal idea of like just quelling your discomfort somebody that stupid.
Yeah, or even just like like, they said that people were yelling, because every time I've ever seen a racist or a pro-choice or pro-life person outside or any of those people, they really want people to argue with them. They want to stand in the street and have people yell at them for some reason. And then, you know, they think maybe they can change their mind. I guess.
Somebody walking by will hear them eviscerate somebody on the street.
Yeah. And so, like, they're out there, but, you know, that is maybe one of the consequences to that kind of speech, right? Is that people are just going to surround you and yell at you and ostracize you. But that's not going to be the only consequence. If the types of things that you believe, if you're wearing a swastika on your arm, I think you deserve to get fucking punched in the head for it. I don't think that's not something I don't think that's so out of the realm of anything. I might not even do it.
I was going to say, you know? I think also there was plenty of people there, and it seems like 90% of people are not the ones that are going to do the punching. But if somebody were to punch you for doing that, I'm not going to throw them in jail, or I'm not going to, that's just the likelihood of that happening increased a lot when you put a swastika on your arm.
Yeah. Yeah. What you're saying is most of us aren't going to punch a Nazi, but we're also kind of hoping somebody around us does it. And the people that do it, those are our heroes.
Well, that's what, if you read that article, I read a Seattle Times or something article where they said that, and the guy had been knocked out and he was coming to, which happens. And he was like reaching a hand out for a help up, and somebody that didn't know what was going on went to go help him. And then someone in the crowd said, "Don't help him. He's Nazi trash." And then pointed to his armband, and then they walked away.
Yeah. Yeah, we all like that. They should be ostracized. I mean, take what they want to the logical conclusion, and they're going to ostracize a whole bunch of people, you know? A white dude punching a Nazi is like, the cops are obviously going to hate the white dude that punched the Nazi, but it's like, at least you have some kind of a chance of getting out of the legal system without any prison time or anything like that.
Sure.
It's a perfect spot for us. It is something that, I want black dudes to punch Nazis too, really. I would love to see that, but I also don't want them to get in trouble. So I'm real fond of these young, wiry white dudes going up and punching a Nazi in the face. I'm sorry. It's something I like. I'm not sorry. I watch wrestling. I watch boxing and MMA. You know, I'm not even opposed to people getting knocked out.
Yeah, and it followed all of my old school rules of fighting, which is if someone hits the deck, like, it's done, even no matter who they are, like, don't beat up unconscious
always.
Bodies and shit, right?
Yeah, don't kick somebody when they're down on the ground. That is always the most disturbing thing, and I think a lot of people see that American History X, and they think, like, yeah, that's the way you gotta do things, and, like, I can tell you that, like, seeing people get their head kicked in on the ground is, it makes you really against that sort of thing, you know?
Oh, when, like, you hear a head bounce off the fucking ground.
If you're in person and you see somebody that won't get off of somebody, I mean, like, it's really fucking scary. And it's just, maybe your punch will jar the hate button loose in his head, but kicking him to death isn't going to do anything for fucking anybody.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. I mean, that's what that stupid jagoff that was saying, this was, you know, this guy's going to have brain damage. He was saying, like, this guy was some sort of sadist or something, like, just looking for a reason to punch somebody on the side of the road, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's not even it. Like,
Didn't
the person that punched him, wasn't he stoned? And he was just, like, going to the movies? And I thought that was...
That was the guy that got interviewed in the article.
Okay. So the guy's stoned and he's going to the movies and he stops. He's like, I'm going to watch this Nazi. And then somebody punches him and he's like, thank you for doing that. You know?
Yeah.
Like, well, some people won't do anything. And then there's a person like you who will just be like, you need to shut your mouth.
Right.
So I wanted to... I thought I'd give another little bit of what I call this good news in a way, Brett. I have a guy in my Facebook feed who's a Nazi. He has SS on his feed, on the top of his thing, and he has a swastika tattooed on his chest. And he is living the absolute worst life of all time. And it always makes me feel good to think about it. And it's the, and like, so he posted this thing, right? every once in a while he'll post this really sad thing, and I think it gives us a look into these into the life of a Nazi and what their ideology actually does. You know what I mean? It says, "I'm so lost and alone right now. I have nothing but these tears in my eyes. I don't have a ride to go anywhere or even a place to go if I did. I'm starving and I'm tired. I'm dead broke and I can't understand what I did to deserve this." It's like, you hate like almost everybody except for people like you. You know, that's what you fucking did to deserve this. If you had a swastika tattooed on you, you absolutely deserve that.
Yeah, that's what it leads to. Like you're welcome to have your beliefs, but what it leads to in the real world is that nobody wants to fuck with you anymore. And especially, you're right. I mean, the folks that are at that level are, when you go to pass the salt at the table, they're going to tell you some racial anecdote, you know?
Exactly. And they will post, this guy will post like some fucking heinous racist shit on there. Like, the only reason I don't get rid of them is because I...
Schadenfreude?
That's not the right way to explain. No, the only reason I don't get rid of him is because I want to see what he's saying.
Monitor.
Like, it makes me feel like, okay, well, this is... I'm out here trying to get a look into people's minds. You know, that's what
their existence and what. Yeah, what's the day to day of a regular old Nazi?
Yeah. So a lot of times so what he often explains is that like nobody will give him the opportunity to be a boyfriend, a husband, and a father, and it's like, that's because you're hate, like you have a ton of fucking hate in your heart.
It's not yes, it's not an attractive quality for other people.
Yeah.
It's not a good upbringing for a child either.
Yeah, that's even a common conservative thing that I think about. It's like, man, you know, 90% of all of your opinions are ugly. Like, all of your opinions are ugly and you embrace the ugliness. And when you end up alone, why can't you figure out why you've ended up alone? Why you never get to see, why you're not allowed to see your grandchildren anymore, and why half the family shows up at Thanksgiving, or you're not invited to like the kids' birthday parties. Well, there's why. Like, yeah, I can tell you why.
You proudly unaccept them for who they are, for family, you know, family members, for religious reasons or whatever your conservative values are.
Yeah. And they're just lonely. I think to me, it's like they don't even deserve somebody like that. A person with a swastika tattoo on their chest doesn't deserve a good life.
No,
like,
it should be miserable.
They're antisocial people. And I'm fucking glad this person's miserable. Even the leftist in me looks at them like, I don't want to help him. I don't want to help that motherfucker.
No socialism for him. No mutual aid for this fucking guy.
I'm spiteful as hell. I'm an imperfect person. That's all I always agree with. That's what I always agree with Q-Mars from Delete Your Account, where he's like, no, we need to embrace the ugliness in our hearts, at least admit that we have it. That's something I will always agree with him on, because I'm like, there's just some things like, I wish we could have socialized medicine, but if a guy has a swastika tattoo on him, we could be like, no, not for you, though. It's for everybody else except for you. I'm imperfect. So that's where I want to get to this story. Earlier this week, I saw that the Buffalo DSA is doing an action against what I would think would be a small business tyrant, Brett. And I want to get the word out there for what they're doing, because it ties to a story for you and I to talk about of something. It is a taco shop,
okay,
in Buffalo. I'm getting you the information right.
I'm going to say I like these stories as well, because I hope, and in my mind, once I'm in a more comfortable working pace, I mean, I really do want to establish some sort of playbook or guidebook for how to deal with some of these small business tyrant situations, you know, in like an IWW type way, or, you know, or Wildcat type way, something more unorganized. but like even, you know, disseminating this information to folks that want to change their fucking working conditions, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So this is not an employment issue. This is something that you and I are struggling with right now, too. So on September 26th, Deep South Taco in Buffalo is holding a fundraiser for Erie County Sheriff Tim Howard, who has rallied with white supremacists, who has overseen more than 20 deaths in his jail since taking office, and who recently announced that he will direct his officers to target people over their immigration status. Call Deep South Taco today and tell them to stop raising money for white supremacy, was the post that I saw.
Okay.
So Brett and I, this is something I've been trying to get into the show, but I felt weird about it for some reason.
Okay.
There's a pizza shop that him and I love, Brett and I both love.
Oh, okay. I didn't know where you were going. I was like, are you going to, I thought you were about to roast me because I like the gringo taco shop in town.
No. I think that's fine. A Deep South Taco, like fuck Deep South Taco. Like yeah. don't go there. Please contact. I mean, it doesn't matter, man, if you contact them. It's the owner of the fucking company.
If
you know?
Fuck with Mexican food, you got to fuck with Mexican people too, man. You can't be down with ICE and shit like that.
That's why people hate. That's cultural appropriation. Right? Yeah, that's like the reason people hate it.
Yeah, this is why. Yeah, this is why entire sections of Tumblr exist.
Yeah. So I'm gonna even give the number on the meme here. Call 716-235-8464 and tell Deep South Taco owner Richard Hamilton to stop raising funds for white supremacist Sheriff Tim Howard. I don't know how much that... I think calling him and giving him shit is cool and funny if you decide you're going to go ahead and do that. I'm not... I don't have any problem with it. But Leone's is a pizza place in town. It's the only kind of new, it's the only real New York style thing here, right?
Just one Columbus best specialty pizza.
Mm-hmm. You know who won our best overall pizza? You want to tell the listeners what Taste of Columbus is called, our number one tasting pizza? There's a big controversy going on Pizza Connoisseurs, which is a site that anybody from Columbus is probably already on.
Yeah, number one rated pizza in Columbus by Taste of Columbus was Sbarro. Which was very upsetting to me. I was like, all morning long, I was like, where's our heritage? What happened? What happened?
But so this,
all of a sudden they put the new ones in that have like, they write the menu on a chalkboard and like Pinteresting font and shit. And it's like not in a mall. And they still give you a 2 for $20 deal.
Yeah. So, but beyond the Sbarro thing, this Leone's pizza place, there is a cop, Zach Rosen, in this city who is very abusive dude, right?
He's the one responsible for shooting Henry Green. He was also, he was part of the two guy jump out boy unit of that shot Henry Green. Also, the dude that got caught on camera, kicking that dude's head and talking about kicking heads into the ground. He was the one when that guy was... his handcuffed, he ran up and kicked him in the head.
Yeah. So he got fired recently after something happened. They were just like, okay, after
the kick.
What he got fired 2 days after Columbus police were dumping people out of their wheelchairs at Rob Portman's office.
Right.
He got fired right after that because they had been doing like an advice. They had been doing a board investigating him.
Right.
And they decided to fire him 2 days after they were in national news for dumping people out of wheelchairs.
Yeah. I think People's Justice Project also did a good job fucking up some city council meetings, too.
Yeah. They targeted Zach Rosen.
Right. Yeah. There's memes. There's Zach Rosen memes. Yeah, the activists in Columbus, Ohio know Zach Rosen by name.
Yeah, most of the rallies I've gone to have included signs that say fire Zach Rosen. Like this was a campaign that had been going on for a long time. And I think the police thought that after they just got in a lot of trouble, they could throw a bone and fire a bad guy who's probably still going to get a pension and doesn't really matter that he's been fired anyway. You know, he could probably get a job at... in some township or something like that, get his job back. But this Leone's pizza that Brett and I got, basically we got it every time we did mail the zines and stuff.
Yeah, like zine, we packed the zines on the last day of the month, and we normally just get pizzas and sit in the living room for four. Well, actually, only then it was like probably a couple hours. It's probably nothing back then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now it's like 4 or 5 hours. But back then, we would get that pizza. The last time I went to go pick up the pizza, which by the way was like 2 months ago, they had a flyer in their window that they were a place that you could come and donate to Zach Rosen, and they had a picture of him on a horse with a little black kid, like standing right by the horse, you know, and it was just like, I can't eat here anymore. Like, I'm not gonna eat here anymore. And then for some reason, that weird, this is just some guy trying to make a living sort of thing kicked in, and it was really hard for me to decide to go online and specifically target and mention that place. Like, I don't think I've still tweeted about, but right now, even just saying it was like, but he's raising money for a cop that kicked a guy in the back of the head with handcuffs on. I can't eat at his restaurant, and I don't think anybody else should eat at his restaurant.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to, I will eat your food if you're a bad person and you don't tell me about it. If you voted for Trump, I would still eat your pizza, okay? But, like, this is what we've been going back and forth with my house is about Tommy's Pizza, because we're really close, and it's one of the old Columbus, like, 1954 joints, like one of our originals. But they posted that pro-Trump thing during the election.
Yes, they posted, they had a sign that said, like, vote Trump 2016. It wasn't a Make America Great Again. It was nothing else. It was very unambiguous that it was just like, vote for him. Vote for this Donald Trump. We need him. And, right, you don't want to get, like, I'm sure a lot of the places that I eat at voted for Trump. Trump got voted in by small business owners. That was his main constituent base, you know?
Oh, yeah. Because
he's the small business tyrant president. He's exactly that. He's the guy, man.
Yeah, we're small business tyrants, and that's why we voted him in by not voting for Hillary.
It's so hard when you own a small business not to accidentally vote for Donald Trump.
That's true. That's true. That's kind of on us.
Our bodies, our minds, like, rejected it. It's like, oh, man, you know, I'm not going to vote for Hillary. I'm not going to vote for Trump, but it's basically a vote for Trump. But, yeah, how did you feel? Because when I told you, your eyes, you kind of slumped down a little bit and were like, oh, really?
Yeah, I don't like, I will waffle on everything. I'm a real get along with everybody type guy. I know people think that the cops are heroes and shit, and, you know, there's enough propaganda and brainwashing going around that it's hard to get outside of that. But, you know, even if I was somebody that believed in the integrity of the police force, like you said, backing up the guy that was kicking him in the head and stuff, that seems like the one. Like you said, that seems like our bad apple. We gotta.
Yeah.
It seems like we found a bad apple. If you believe, you know, in the bad apple theory of policing, right? Is that what they call it in college?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They call it broken windows, right? But the bad apple. Yeah, what is the bad apple if he's not a bad apple?
Right.
He's killed somebody and he's kicked somebody in the back of the head with handcuffs on.
He's getting
a pension, Brett. It's not like he's not going to get a severance or anything. He got fired, but it's not like he's going to be poor for months. They're raising money for a guy that's going to get something in the end.
Yeah, and this is another thing I completely disagree. Doing a shootout at 6 p.m. Like, you jump out of a car in the middle of, like, rush hour traffic and you're starting a fucking gunfight.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want that. Nobody needs that going on out here. Just let the person go and get him later.
Jumping out. Yeah.
put a uniform on and I bet he wouldn't have run like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You wouldn't have been scared. You wouldn't have had to kill him. But yeah, so I don't know if you know of any of these other places. It's right. You're right. You know, it is a small business and it's just one place. And Trump, probably every small businessman voted for Trump, but most of them have at least the kindness to, or not the kindness, the smarts to hide it. Most places wouldn't decide. Like I said, yes, most people think cops are okay, but this cop is not okay. This is not an okay thing. You are doing an anti-Black Lives Matter thing at that point. You are coming out against like justice. And
yes.
I can't support that. I don't want anybody to. I hope this guy goes out of fucking business.
I honestly think that's, now that you say it that way, that sounded bad to say that people should know to hide it. I mean, if you're going to make the stance, I mean, that's more information that I'm going to use in my decision to where I eat, you know? So if you want to be one, if you want to be like out loud and proud, you're going to hang a Blue Lives Matter flag outside of your restaurant and shit, then I mean, I'll avoid it. And you can, you know, have your own thing. I mean,
that's true. You're free to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell my listeners that, like, I'm going to point it out to my listeners, you know, that like, oh, I saw this going on at that place. And my listeners probably aren't going to go to your place either. My local listeners in Columbus probably aren't going to go to your place either. I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of people that eat at places like Carl's Jr., where the guy that runs that is a piece of garbage. And the place I'm going to talk about now, Jimmy John's, which is,
yeah.
Whoo, I can't eat there. I'm never going to eat there again, Brad.
You're done?
Yeah, I can't do it. I read too much shit about that place. And actually, somebody actually sent me a thing on Twitter that said that, like, one time they went to eat at Jimmy John's and they were sitting at one of the tables alone eating for lunch. And there was a person giving an interview to a guy that was like on-ramping them or whatever into the company that made the job sound like absolute fucking hell, Brett.
Oh, really?
And yeah, he was saying stuff like, don't become a manager because you won't have any friends nights or weekends or any time to yourself.
This is the on-ramping?
Yeah. The guy was telling, like, well, it was just like,
I think he was brutally honest.
I think he was so exasperated with the company policies that he was just kind of being like, you don't want to fucking work here, man. This is not a good place to work.
Yeah, this is the type of bullshit you got to be comfortable with.
Such an indication. So I Googled it so I could get their employee handbook, which is a thing that we're going to start looking at. We would love any orientation videos, any company handbooks, anything you can steal from your work that can tell us the company line, memos.
Benefits. I want to see flyers about benefits packages.
Yeah, we want memos. We want memos. We want to see what the company spirit is like. I remember a lot of those things, like people that work at Walmart, Lynn Zeta and Twitter's good boy both said that at Walmart they make you do that really embarrassing cheer. They have to do a Walmart cheer once a month.
That's fun.
And it's like, what are they giving you to do that? Why would you care about the company? They don't give you any benefits, but we want to see how they word their benefits.
And everything's changed too. I mean, we're dinosaurs, man. I worked at Meijer. It was the 90s when I worked at like a big box store. So, I mean, now like the KFC is cool and shit, you know, like they, all the brands are hip. So I want to know what kind of, how they lay out the bullshit now.
Well, I was hip to this, McDonald's benefits page, and I thought we'd go through and just see what the filler is on the benefits page.
Do you want to do the Jimmy John's first?
Oh shit, yeah. I'm sorry. So one of the things I read about Jimmy John's was that they made their assistant managers executives. They called
like
them
in the company.
In the company, they were like, "You're an executive," but not in the way that we think they made them executives.
Right? Not like you don't get the shirt that has cufflinks and sit around a big table and make decisions.
You're not a part of the profit sharing per se.
No,
you are an executive in the sense that you're an assistant manager, so you have a little bit of autonomy when the manager's not there.
But mostly, they're executive. Why do they make them executives?
Because you don't have to pay executives overtime.
Oh my God, that is sinister.
Yeah, the biggest scam they've ever been able to pull on us, that bums me out too, is the biggest scam they were ever able to pull on us is don't call us executives or give us a salary to make it so you can't get overtime anymore, and then they squeeze 60 hours a week out of you.
Yeah, that's a plot. That's insidious, man. That's fucked up. That seems illegal. Like,
they got sued for
you're it. The executive of this sandwich line.
Yeah, you're the executive. You mostly are making sandwiches, but you are an assistant manager. Because here's the two biggest ripoff positions in all of corporate America. Lead, assistant manager. Those are the two.
Coach, too.
Coach. Sometimes a coach will make a little more as like if they're a trainer. Like, so sometimes you'll call a trainer coach and they make a little bit more money. Leads never make more money.
Right.
They always make the same as everybody else, but they're given more responsibilities and they're judged on how well the team does. Like, you can end up getting fired for not being good at your job because the team isn't doing well, even though you're not paid to have the responsibility to make the team do well.
You also,
I was a lead.
You also make zero decisions. You have to ask somebody else for everything you do.
I was a lead at the cable company for a while, and it basically just meant that I had to go do all the hardest jobs every day. I didn't get any extra money for it. I didn't have any authority. I didn't decide if anybody got the day off, or I made zero fucking decisions. I didn't get to pick my route. I just got all the hardest jobs. The jobs that made it to the manager, I had to go out and do. Like, so it's like, oh, I want to talk to your manager. They talk to the manager, and then my manager has to send a special person out, and that was me as a lead. And that's when I decided to let off the gas. When I worked there, I was like, I hate this fucking job, man. I don't want to be the lead. You're not paying me to do this. And I let off the gas from that day forward. I want to be a fucking manager if you're making me do management style work, you know? But Jimmy John's also was the company that locked people in non-compete clauses. So you couldn't go work at Jimmy John's, and then you could, like, if you lost your job, you couldn't make sandwiches at all anywhere else.
Fuck that. Yeah. Fuck that, man.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. That's, once again, shouldn't even be illegal.
It's not in Illinois. Illinois had to make a specific law because of Jimmy John's.
Yeah, I don't like any of those. I don't trust any non-competes.
No non-competes ever. I hate them. I think they're the worst thing to tell somebody that they can't do the thing they're good at. It's like wrestlers a lot of times have non-competes, and it's like, well, what else the fuck are they supposed to do? But wrestling, it doesn't, like, they're independent contractors and they have non-competes, and it's like for a certain amount of time, and it seems so fucking unfair. But they make some kind of money, and they're in their dream job. Jimmy John's is making sandwiches isn't really anybody's dream job. And the thing about fucking Jimmy John's is their fucking owner is just famous because he's like, I think I can get all these ingredients really cheap and stack them together and charge people for them.
Yeah, the most efficient way.
Yeah,
he got them on the bikes now too.
Yeah, he's not just an artist or anything. He's not like an artist. He's not like a chef.
No,
who had a passion for the restaurant.
No,
business.
He's not like an entrepreneur. He's an entrepreneur and just making a sandwich that everybody has had before.
It really is just that people have had it before. That's the only reason Jimmy John's exists, because, like, okay, so I know what I'm getting when I'm out of town. But he also hunts endangered species.
Jesus Christ.
That's like one of his gimmicks. Like, he'll go shoot he's one of those guys that'll go shoot a fucking rhinoceros or something like that.
God damn, this is a super villain.
Yeah, that's the Jimmy John's guy.
I think I'm done with Jimmy John's too.
Please be done, because you know we all get there. We have certain scapegoats for bad labor practices, right? Like Walmart has terrible labor practices and they suck, but they're not the only one of these companies that have them. All of them do, but most of them skate in mainstream culture. Like, I think mainstream people think that Walmart treats their employees like shit, and there's a decent amount of people who know that and don't shop there. And but there's also a lot of people who have no choice but to shop there, but know that. That's a common knowledge sort of thing. I think McDonald's is another place that people know is a shitty fucking place to work, and we bring McDonald's up all the time because it's the biggest thing. But we don't talk about places like, we don't talk about Jimmy John's. We don't talk about Target. Target's another place
Target's
that reminds
hell.
Me of Jimmy John's.
I know a lot more Target workers than I do Walmart people, and it sounds like the fucking pits.
Yeah, yeah. Target's
crazy Target. Fucking schedules, really inappropriate management type shit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they just had that one that went on strike. But Target is just as bad. It's just as bad in every way as Walmart, except for design.
Right.
Like, that's the only difference between that. But people don't talk about it. And Jimmy John's, I feel like in left circles, I think a lot of people know it's bad. But it's incredibly fucking bad. It's everything wrong with our current employment system.
That executive thing, I mean, I think that makes them the worst offender. I mean, that's just cartoonishly evil. That sounds like some crazy shit that you would say. That's completely preposterous.
Yes, it is. It is. And they've done that. I know so many people that do that. I know that I've talked to my wife a lot, and they're always trying to make her a lead. And she's like, I don't want to be a lead. I'm not going to be a lead. You want to make me a manager? You make me a manager. I'm not going to be a fucking lead. That's not a real job. And that executive thing, probably there's a lot of people who are like, there's probably a lot of people who are like, oh, well, you know, executive does actually mean something. We give you some kind of something. You might get your health insurance, maybe, do you think? They get health insurance
at that
point?
Yeah, probably. Maybe, hopefully. Yeah, you know, that's actually, well, I remember retail when I worked at Hollister. It was the managers, I remember being friends with them, and they were making like $26,000 a year or something, you know, like and they were there all the time. Before we got there and an hour or two after we left, and they pretty much lived the fucking life of the company. They, you know, got off work and drank and smoked weed and then slept for 7 hours and then got back to work, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I know a lot of because the managers at the store, if we could get them on our fucking sides, I'd be really happy with that. And I know we got to fight them, but like a lot of them are being taken advantage of too. We need to go two levels up before, I don't know though. You know, I'm trying to steal from the company, you know, yeah. Not the guy, not the manager. I want it from the people above even that person.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of managers are just people who get taken advantage of worse or get taken advantage of by the company just one little bit less.
Or different ways. I mean, in a way, they give up way more. I mean, a lot of those, we've talked about it a lot. A lot of the way that the big retail management and customer service management type jobs work is that's your life now. Like you live for Denny's. I mean, we know of a guy that is holed up in the middle of fucking Alabama just to basically live out of a fucking suitcase in a place that isn't his home, but where he gets to run a big fucking steakhouse chain, you know?
Makes pretty good money. You get some stock options and stuff like but that once you get up to manager levels. Yeah.
6 days a week, though.
Yeah, and you lose everything. You don't have your life. You're at work 6 days a week, and like you're on call, basically. If something bad happens, the dumbass other managers have the managers we're talking about have to call them.
And it's gotten way worse. Technology has made it so bad. I mean, the text messaging and shit and emails has bled into everybody's life, and it's a competition of like who's willing to be constantly working for the company in some ways, you know. I mean, yeah. when you put it when you when you put that parameter on it, you know, it just becomes like a fucking blood sport for managers and shit, you know?
Yeah.
It's like who's willing to put up with the most punishment?
Yeah. So here's another story. Here's a story about Jimmy John's where they were being targeted by labor. The Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals had no beef with the termination of employees who put up negative posters about their employee during a union organizing campaign. So Jimmy John's fired some of their employees for hanging up posters that said hanging up posters around town. They went around town. So during the organizing campaign, the employees attempted to pressure the company by putting up 3,000 posters on public bulletin boards within the stores as well as in other locations around the Twin Cities, which contained two identical images of Jimmy John's sandwiches. The first one stated, "Your sandwich may be made by a healthy Jimmy John's worker." The second image stated, your sandwich may be made by a sick Jimmy John's worker. Below both images, there was text that says, "Can't tell the difference. That's too bad because Jimmy John's workers don't even get paid sick days. Shoot, we can't even call in sick. We hope your immune system is ready because you're about to take the sandwich test." Interestingly, the restaurants had regular, they, it says in this thing, they passed inspections, but that doesn't even fucking matter. It's not a lie that their employees are eating. It doesn't matter that they passed the fucking thing. They're making the sandwiches with snot coming out of their nose, coughing, and maybe even with like diarrheas and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't know what the likelihood of going once. How many times? How do they? How they test those places every few years? I don't even know if it's every. It's not even every month. Anyway. I don't think every month they're testing the food from places.
I don't think it's a fucking violation, Brett. I don't think it's a violation to have somebody cooking your food with the flu. I don't think that's a health code violation.
Well, yeah.
It's morally wrong, but Jimmy John's doesn't really care about that because you can't call off work at Jimmy John's or they'll fire you.
Yeah, we do. I don't. We are. I don't know. I just will never understand it. I just don't understand how people get by running a place like that, like putting that in effect. Like maybe they got like a Lamborghini out of it though. They're like, "Bryson, you're fucking genius, man. We'll make them executives."
Yeah, yeah.
Or like, you know, we save a lot of money by not providing sick days.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. We do. That I mean, and that's another one of those businesses that you're like, "Oh, if you can't give sick days, you don't get to be in business." That's I know it's terrible, but you're not guaranteed a business, Jimmy John. So why don't you go get a fucking job somewhere? That's how I feel. Jimmy John should have the CEO isn't allowed to be in business unless he can pay $15 an hour and give health insurance. And then he's allowed to have a business. But otherwise, he has to go work at McDonald's, where I'm going to tell you there. Or wherever. He has to just go get a job working for somebody. He's not guaranteed that. America doesn't guarantee you a business. If it did, Brett and I would have a goddamn business. You know, we'd be running a fucking Arby's or something, not doing this bullshit.
Yeah, we did one time pitch the idea that, like, we all got a chance to get one business. They handed over a business to us and, like,
it's UBI.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you get to oversee a Subway or something. I would like, I honestly would love to take all of these corporate locations and rip the names off of it and then let people that are like passionate about food use the equipment.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just leave the Jimmy John's, just, you can still have fucking Jimmy John's, but they're not allowed to have a CEO or anything like that.
They have
like,
to make there some adjustments.
Each store can be a Jimmy John's. They can even change the name if they. I like what you're saying. Like the people that are making the sandwiches there, they know more about what the customers want in a sandwich. We don't need this other thing up here. You know, let us run this restaurant and make the sandwich. We'll make sandwiches. We'll let you have your name. Well, we're still going to call Jimmy John's because people will come into the store a lot easier if it's that. But we're going to start doing everything now. So I went to look at the McDonald's site. Somebody hit me to this that I'm not going to mention. But somebody hit me to like looking at the pages for jobs when they list their benefits. and to look at the filler that they have to put in there because they don't have benefits, right? McDonald's first benefit, flexible schedules, which doesn't actually that mean what you think it does.
Well, yeah, I mean, some days they won't need you, and sometimes they'll need you a lot more than you thought they would.
Yeah.
You never know what your schedule is going to be. You just got to be flexible.
No. They're flexible. But Brett, most people are trying not to have a job that's an eight, that's some damn 9 to 5.
Who wants a fucking 9 to 5? Give me something flexible.
Yeah. Change it up on me, man. I, you know, some days I want to open, some days I want to close. You pick those. No, have no concern for what my life is like.
Call me in, have a baseball game go south and nobody comes in, and then make me leave 2 hours later.
Yeah, please do that. That's the kind of flexibility that I'm looking for. Like, I want you to feel flexible in the times that you call me, but that's a fake benefit, but they need to put that on there because they don't have any real benefits. Yeah. The next benefit.
That was their first benefit?
That was their first benefit. Well, it's the worst thing they do. One of the worst things about working at McDonald's is their scheduling is so fucking erratic. It's a terrible job when it comes to scheduling. It's the worst part. Is the schedule. That's why I don't work at McDonald's, because the schedule was too, I mean, now that's not why, but that's why I quit there, because the schedule was too erratic. I didn't know when the fuck I was going to be working until the week that I was supposed to be at work. It sucked. That's why I'm the number one proponent of scheduling laws about scheduling. I think you should have more concrete scheduling guidelines, because they can't take it. I hate that they take advantage of people and take their whole fucking lives away from them. The next benefit, world-class training. That's you.
Okay. You can't get anywhere else, I guess, right? Although, isn't McDonald's in like a bunch of other countries? Do they come here to get trained?
No. No, it's just world. Like, it's good. Like,
okay.
You're one of the. It's. What does that fucking mean? Now that you bring up McDonald's is in other countries, is it like that, like we've got yes. places all over the world that have come to us to help us provide the most maximum training that we can do?
These hamburgers are made all across the earth, right?
Yeah. So they can't tell you that your skills are, because you don't do anything.
No, you're making a cultural phenomenon. You're making the best hamburger as voted by everybody on earth that loves to eat their food because it's crammed down their throats every 5 miles.
But the, oh my God, yeah. Sometimes they'll just put a sign up on the highway that shows the next 3 exits that have McDonald's. But the training, you're saying to yourself as you're listening to this, you're like, the training is like on how to like put a basket of French fries in a thing until a thing beeps, and then you dump them in, put them in. Like, it's not a kind of training that's relevant to our lives, right? If you quit McDonald's, the training that you're given at McDonald's doesn't help you anywhere else.
Yeah, they don't teach you how to season a burger or make a patty.
No, they don't teach you anything. They teach you how to use the equipment that are only in McDonald's. So they go a little further to explain this, and they say flexible schedules to fit your life. They help you set up for success, making your goals easier to achieve. That's
well, you can go to college too. You should probably be in college. You shouldn't just be at McDonald's.
It's not going to make your goals easier to achieve. We've talked about this a few times. There just aren't a lot of people who work their way up from the bottom at McDonald's into the executive office. And the next benefit is advancement opportunities. Doesn't every job have that except for like landscaping business, where when Stan dies, the whole thing closes?
I never once got a job. Well, yeah, besides, you're right, the only place I can think of is like that. But I think that most places you can advance in them.
Yeah, you should be able to.
Especially if you're talking about a big company like a McDonald's. Like, that should be a given. If they were like, no, you're locked into this. We're not looking for any new management around here. We just need a guy that can do baskets of fries.
They hire most of them. They hire most of the executives and stuff out of college. They don't hire them from out of college. They don't hire like the person that gets the job from that fills out an application to get the job. I don't think it's that easy to move up in that. There's not a lot of opportunity for advancement. If you work in a franchise, there's almost none. Well, you're going to usurp the owner at some point. It's a very limited amount of jobs that are there. So then when they say advancement opportunities, they mean like, you know, you might be able to be a manager, but that's the only way you're ever going to make any fucking money at all at this place. You're not going to make anything. You're not going to get the next benefit, which we've said three things that aren't actually things, right? They're not tangible
not benefits.
Things.
Not like benefit. When you say benefits, and I think of like company cars, and I think of healthcare and dental and vision, college reimbursement, like that's benefits.
Yeah, they say high school completion courses. So they will, if you are an eligible employee, you'll be able to obtain a high school diploma at no cost. That's something, you know?
That's a benefit.
That is okay. Put that in the benefits column. It's not a
we found a benefit.
It's more you have to do more work for it. And maybe if you're already doing well at your job at McDonald's, they should just keep you. I mean, you don't have to like go to high.
You have advancement opportunities.
Yes. That's what they're saying. Like the only way you're going to advance is if you finish high school. It's like, well, I'm already doing pretty good at the job. I have an aptitude for it. And they're like, but you have to still finish high school. I think college tuition assistance.
Okay. That's a benefit.
I don't think it's very good though, but
well, yeah, you complain about everything.
I do. English as a second language classes. So that's another benefit.
Benefit.
That's all the benefits.
Okay. Okay.
That's all of them. That's every one of the benefits you get. If you get a job at McDonald's, that list, what of those things can you put in your hands? What of those things? Like you, that's not anything. And these are adults that are getting this job. I don't care if it's a teenager getting the job because I think a teenager deserves exactly the same amount for the labor as an adult deserves for the labor. It's like the labor's worth something. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference what age the person is. So that's one thing. But like, this is what we have to work with. This is the most abundant jobs. This is the most amount of jobs that we're going to have to deal with that have to be done. Most of us are going to have to do something like this. Does that make sense? What, like a lot?
Yeah, that's where a lot of the economy is at right now. That's what a lot of people are finding out. The folks that didn't get college degrees that would get them a little bit above this. I mean, there's not much more available, and these things are even, they're becoming more scarce.
Yes, these jobs are becoming
more scarce.
But like,
I don't know.
We all just have to live. We all have to live. We all have to eat. We all need to be taken care of healthcare-wise.
Yeah.
And like, these jobs are,
they are in demand too. I mean, people need cheap food to eat. And it's just it's still at this point something that, I don't know, I guess I feel like the national conversation has kind of died down on it. I don't see as much anti-fight for 15 stuff as I used to on my Facebook, you know?
Yeah, because it's they know it's not a possibility now.
Yeah.
You know, because the president would never sign that minimum wage increase. And the Republicans are in power everywhere, but people are still fighting. I just don't think the news is covering it. I know I've seen a few places where people walked out. Burgerville is always going on. They're still fighting Burgerville, but like, I would love to see people do it. I had a conversation with somebody after the Baltimore show where I talked to them and I said, you know, I've done every kind of fucking job, every kind of job a non-college graduate can do. You know, I did a call center. I did roofing, I did cable, I did blue collar, white collar, like all of those jobs, okay? And the hardest one I had was McDonald's. And it was my first job, and that's the hardest job I ever did. And anybody that has worked there will tell you that it is not a fucking easy job. And people who haven't worked there, it's a grueling fucking job with very little, with very little benefit. As we just read to you, those are your benefits. Your pay is probably pretty close to the minimum wage. So that's it for it, man. That's the show, Brett.
Yeah, it's important that we say thank you to those folks out there making hot food for everybody.
Making my French fries.
I know.
That's my biggest hero is the people that are making my French fries for me.
That's
really
true.
I love French fries. Salty boys, French fries. That's all I want. And like
whoever has a cup full of piping hot fries for me should be a homeowner.
4 in the morning. Somebody, I can go to a place at 2:30 in the morning and get a cup of hot fries from somebody. That person deserves a house for doing that for me. They deserve a college degree. They deserve health insurance. The top of the line Cadillac shit, if you ask me. And
then all we have to do in to get to pay for it, which people, like, you brought this up, they haven't seen it yet, but in Baltimore, how are we going to pay for it? With money.
That's what I think.
We'll take
money.
The money from people that have more than one house, and then we give it to the people that are doing the work.
Doing the work is the exact right thing that you said. Is these are people that are doing grueling work. It's hard work, and I want to give rich people's money to them. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for tuning in on our mission to give away rich people's money. We are Street Fight Radio. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, all that. If you want to support what we do, if you like that we don't do a bunch of dumbass advertisements for underwear or groceries in the fucking mail, we run a Patreon, patreon.com. It's a website for supporting artists, and you can get even more episodes of Street Fight. This is one of the free episodes, so we've got bonus content. We just did an episode with Michael Siebert about nu metal, and that's coming out. There's our Struggalo Circus episode. Brian talked to Arish Singh. We have a few different episodes in there in the bonus content. For $1 a month, you can get 4 extra Street Fights every single month. And then for $5 a month, we have zines. We publish a zine. If you sign up before October 1st, you can get our occult zine, which is going to include 22 tarot cards in it from the whole major arcana. We're working out a pretty cool setup for that, but we'll keep you posted. You got to be signed up by the 1st, though. $10 a month, you can get Kratom, the sweet green leaf from the other side of the world, and for 13 you can get it all. We also have live videos available on our Patreon, and if you only got a few dollars, $3 to spare, you get one hitter, which is a copy of one article from the zine in PDF form. So please consider helping us out as we move forward with our goals. We are Street Fight. Peace.
Yeah. say.